Thank you, Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm really thankful for the theme to our retreat. That's kind of been my philosophy in preaching and trying to serve as a pastor and is try to implant into the hearts and minds of God's people that it's not about us. It's all about God. And you know, when you study theology, when you study the decrees of God and the oracles of God and the purpose of God, what His main purpose was, why Jesus came, why we're redeemed, what is the ultimate desire of God, it falls in line with the theme for our youth retreat. Actually, in the end, it's all going to be God. That God might be all in all. That is the ultimate desire and ultimate purpose of God. Now, we should live now like it'll be in heaven. Where in our lives today, it's all about God, not about us. We know it'll be that way in heaven, but we should live that way here and now. It's difficult for us. I mean, let's be honest. It's a struggle. We have to really put forth an effort to keep God as the main focus of our lives. Don't you struggle with that? And the Bible helps us to stay focused. We need the study of Scripture. We need Scripture. We need prayer. We need good songs and singing that keeps us centered upon the things of God. We need one another. We need good church fellowship. I'm thankful for the church fellowship. Church should keep you focused on God. But none of us would even have the desire that we have if it wasn't for Christ being in us. See, Jesus and Him coming, Him providing our redemption and our salvation is solely in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. And those of us that are saved by the grace of God, He's in all of us. Let's read this passage, and I want you to consider what it says in verse 5. I want you to listen closely to what it says. See, it'll never be about God rather than you until Christ is in you. In church work. I really fear that, I'm concerned about a lot of churches that have open the floodgate for unregenerated people to join. Unregenerated church membership is a big problem today. And I'm not talking about other denominations. I'm talking about in Baptist churches. Listen, you should not and cannot be a member of the Lord's church until you have Christ in you. I've talked with a lot of different pastors of various Baptist churches, not all of them missionary Baptist churches, and they have a lot of problems. I'm actually reading a book right now about the problems of pastoring. And I got just a few pages in the book and came to the conclusion, well, the problem this pastor's having is half his flock is not saved. You have a bunch of people trying to live like Christ, and they're goats, and they have that goatish attitude and that goatish spirit about them, that devilish spirit in their hearts and in their lives dominating their actions, and you're going to have a lot of trouble at church. I mean, it's been obvious to me. We would never or could never get along if it wasn't for Christ in us. I couldn't get along with you. You couldn't get along with me. The reason we are together and united is because Jesus Christ lives in us. That hooks us up together, amen, in the advancement of His cause and His kingdom. Paul was concerned even in the first century, in the first few years, in the development of the church, they became concerned that there would be those that had seeped into the church that did not have Christ in them. Does that happen? Listen, you can be baptized in every church in Hendersonville and Gallatin and Nashville, but if you have Christ not in you, you are lost. And we have to put first things first. We have to make sure that Christ is in us. Now, I'm concerned. I'll be honest with you as a pastor. I'm a realist. There are occasions in pastoring a sound church, like I believe this is a sound church, where we're sticklers about people being saved before they become church members. But even through all of our efforts to make sure that people are saved, there are occasions where people are not, where they've deceived themselves, or perhaps they were deceived by some means. God forbid they ever get deceived by us. See, one of the things that I'm really concerned about when I pastor and when I'm counseling with lost people is to make sure that they find God and know God for themselves. In the fifth verse of this 13th chapter, that's the same preaching and same theology and same soteriology that Paul had in trying to reach the people in his day. I want to be like the Apostle Paul in my preaching. I want to encourage people to examine themselves and make sure for themselves that they're saved. Is that important? When all of us gather around God's throne, as a church, as a people, we won't gather there unless Christ is in us, in all of us. Is He in you this morning? Are you saved? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Can you actually say that there's been something occur in your life where it's not you but Christ? Martin Luther one time had somebody knock on his door, and he knocked on his door and said, "Does Martin Luther live here?" He said, "No, he died. Christ lives here now." I mean, we need to be so consumed about it being all about God that when people inquire into our lives, that we put Him first. That Christ is in us, and through being in us, it's all about God. Amen. I'm hoping that I'm not going to speak to you very long, but my focus, my thoughts through prayer and meditation have been to just kind of put icing on the cake. To kind of sum up all that the young people have been learning, because some of you old people need to get on board. It's not about you, it's about God. About Jesus. Each of us today need to examine ourselves and make sure that it is Christ that is in us. Notice verse 5, and I want to start with this verse. Examine yourselves. Now, it's important for us, each one. Do you see that in verse 5, 13th chapter, 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look at it. God, by the Holy Ghost, had Paul to pin down a question. Actually, he approaches us and he says, you need to use some self-examination. I don't know if you're saved. I know I'm saved, but I don't know if you're saved. Each one of us have a personal responsibility to self-examine ourselves. Amen. Self-examination is necessary. You need to look into your own heart. You need to look into your own life. You need to approach this thing personally. There's nothing any more personal or individual than being saved. Because it is so purely spiritual, it is individual. It is personal. I'm offended at people that say, well, Jesus is a personal Savior, and then they want to get involved in it. Well, if He's a personal Savior, then He's the one that does the saving. He don't need your help. Amen. Personal means no third party involved. You look it up. Even Webster had enough sense to put it as a definition in his dictionary that personal means no third party involved. Nobody else involved but you and God. So there must be an examination to see if you have a salvation that is personal. Amen? Where it's spiritual. Where something happened between you and God. Is that important? Now, through the course of your examination, if somebody else was involved in saving you or helping you get saved, listen, preaching is important. Prayer is important. Singing is important. Even counsel has its place. Talking to somebody, explain to somebody, make sure that they understand the gospel. about the blood that was shed by Jesus to atone for our sins. But at the very end of all of that, what it comes down to, when you do some self-examination, that when you got saved, when you were born again of the Spirit of God, was it God that brought it about, or was it somebody else? Amen. Examine yourself to see if, what does he say? See if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Well, that should be enough. That one little phrase of the fifth verse, the 13th chapter, should be enough. But he goes on. I mean, he continues to put emphasis upon us looking deep into our souls. There are a lot of you this morning. I've known for several years now. I've seen you sit out in those pews for a number of years. And until I hear you tell a testimony of salvation, I consider you lost. Till I see some fruit from your life to demonstrate that you've been to the cross, that you've been to the fountain, that you've drank the living water, I consider you lost. Even sometimes there are people that tell me, I think I'm saved. And I just say, well, just wait and see. Tell you what, you get saved, you'll know it. There'll be some fruit to develop in your life. When you become a child of God, God doesn't desert you. No, He nurtures you. He develops you. He's just like a parent. He'll be right there with you. And you'll see that manifestation in a person's life if they're really saved. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Now, there are many faiths. I mean, there are many faiths, right? But I'm glad I'm in this faith. I'm thankful. I'll tell you what I did one time. I examined our teaching, our doctrine, our principles, our kerygma. I examined from beginning to end every belief, every article of faith, line upon line, precept upon precept. I looked at it in search of the truth. And I convinced myself that if what we believed was not right, I was going to follow the truth no matter what. You ever done that? Listen, I'm not a missionary Baptist because my parents were missionary Baptists. I'm a missionary Baptist because I believe they teach the scriptures as it should be taught. They teach the doctrines as it should be taught. And I, in my own life, and I encourage you, I challenge you, you seek the truth and nothing but the truth, you seek after God and His way, God will make a Baptist out of you. Amen? Yeah. That's just the way it works. Why? Because Baptists believe the Bible. And people that believe the Bible become Baptists. I'll just tell you what I believe. I didn't get an amen. Am I preaching to Baptists? All right, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Listen, we not only need to be saved, but we need to walk in the ways of the Lord. I realize I don't put a lot of emphasis on baptism. You know why? Because a lot of people think that you can be saved by being baptized. Baptists are kind of shunned away from the teaching of baptism as strongly as they used to because of people that believe in baptismal regeneration. I know, I hear recently somebody said, well, you know, this guy, this preacher down the street, he can really speak well. He teaches well. He can articulate scripture and interpretation of scripture well. He's a good orator, tells some good stories. And, you know, I like listening to him. And they went on and on and on. And, I, you know, in my mind and my heart, I just thought to myself, he believes in baptismal regeneration. That's what he believes. That's what his church believes. It's not all about Christ. It's about what they do. And listen, if you're following in those footsteps, if you're in that kind of faith, you're in the wrong faith. It has to be all about Christ. Be careful that you don't get deceived. Baptism will not save you. But when you get saved, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Come out from among the world. Be identified with the body of Jesus Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ. And I believe we are the true church. We have the true faith, the true doctrines, the true principles and precepts of God's Word are taught here. If I didn't believe it, I'd leave and go somewhere else. That's my conviction. I want to follow and seek the truth. And I believe all of them to be true. All right, so examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. Prove your own self. All right, that's important, isn't it? Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self. Okay, he says, you need to prove it. You need to test it. You need to examine it. I like people examining themselves. Testing it. Proving it. You need to prove it according to the Word of God. You need to prove it according to the Holy Ghost. It needs to pass some tests. Your salvation needs to pass a test. It must line up with the Word of God. It must line up with the Holy Ghost. You could examine your faith or your belief or your trust or your salvation and find it aligning with the devil. You know, I preached last Sunday night about the Antichrist. I had two on my doorstep yesterday morning. Stepped outside. And they said, what do you think about heaven on earth? I said, you really want to know what I think? Oh, yes, we want to know what you think. Oh, boy. Now, I tell you, I was so prayed up. I mean, I'd had the Holy Ghost been on me for 3 days. They didn't know what they just tied into. I told them exactly what they needed. They needed to know Jesus Christ as Jehovah God. And I told them if they didn't know Jesus Christ as Jehovah God, they were going to die and go to hell. And I showed them starting in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that the Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That all things were made by Him and without Him was not anything made that was made. That Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. And to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, John said, you're the Antichrist. Amen. Told them men they didn't know nothing about Jehovah because they didn't know Jesus. One of them said, we worship Jesus, he said. I said, you worship Jesus? Oh, yeah, we worship Jesus. I said, you worship Jesus, but you deny him as God? I said, you've just broken the first two commandments. God said he alone was to be worshipped. God alone is to be worshipped. It's all about God. And if Jesus is not your God, and you worship him, then you are worshiping an idol God. Something that's not God. And that's in violation of the Ten Commandments. Anyway, I won't go into all I said to them. I didn't mean to get off on that. They got to running down my sidewalk and I was running after them. Come back. You need Jesus. He came to reveal the Father. To know him is to know Jehovah. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is the great I am. And if you don't know Jesus as the great I am, you don't know Jehovah. Amen. We didn't get time to get anything into anything else. Don't be a witness for Jehovah if you don't know Jehovah. Well, their doctrine just didn't pass the test. Prove yourself. Make sure you know Jesus. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To know God. It's all about Him. Him being in us. These passages tell us to prove ourselves. And know for yourself. One of them Jehovah's Witnesses said to me, he said, we wouldn't be out here sweating like we're sweating, knocking on these doors, if we didn't love, we didn't love God, if we didn't love Jehovah. I said, yes, you would. You're out here to knock off one of the 144,000. You have no interest in loving God. You're loving yourself. And if it's about you, then it's not about God. If you're trying to get something out of it, it's not loving God. And that's why they're out there. They can hand out more pamphlets and sell more of their propaganda and knock on more doors. You know, most of us, we couldn't even, a backsliding Jehovah's Witness knocks on at least 3 doors a week. Know for yourself the love of God. Now, one of the great things about what we preach and teach here is we want people to know for themselves. Kids sometimes get confused, and we have some young kids that they reach the. We don't know. They have to know for themselves. We don't know if they're accountable or not. They have to know for themselves. Amen. We don't know if they're convicted or not. They have to know for themselves. We don't know if they've repented and trusted in Jesus. They have to know for themselves. We handle our kids with kid gloves. We're very protective. We'll watch. We don't want people to get too zealous. Amen? During the youth retreat, it's one of the Brother John and I talked about that. We have people there watching. Sometimes young people they're real burdened and real zealous, and they feel the Lord and they're prayed up, and you know, they can get too zealous. And so we watch them, we monitor them when they're working with other kids. And we have to do that, amen? Because a person must come to know the Lord for themselves. That's what Paul said, and that was his concern. It's our concern today. And people will come to know the Lord for themselves. People are vulnerable and can be convicted into doing something, or be convinced about doing something by another person. But when you're convicted by the Holy Ghost, and you're convinced by the Holy Ghost, then you know you're saved. You know it for yourself. It's not something that you acquired through learning. It's not something that somebody has deceived you in. But if God, by His Holy Ghost, speaks to you and says, "Peace, be still," you know it. Amen. You're the first one to know it. So you examine yourself. Make sure you're in the faith. Prove it. Put it to the test. I'm not afraid to put it to the test. Are you? I'm not afraid to examine what I got in the Lord. I'm not afraid to put it under scrutiny or a microscope or examine it. Actually, I think we ought to do that for one another. There are occasions, if you tell me you're saved, I'll say, "Tell me about it. Let's put it to the test. I need more than just you're saved. I need to hear something else." Don't you? I say, "Tell me about it." And I'll be honest with you, if you tell me something that's out there, that's off the wall, that doesn't align with Scripture, that isn't proven by the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, you don't have it. Does that offend you? Paul would have done it. Jesus would have. He did on numerous occasions. All the apostles did that. The early church did that. There have been occasions where people have come up to our churches to join, and we had to sit them back down and say, "Look, you're not there yet." Amen? And listen, if somebody comes up here to be baptized and they tell you some awful wall experience that doesn't align with Scripture and isn't proven of the Holy Ghost, you need to decline or just not vote it down. Amen? Say, "Look, actually, I don't think it should get that far. I think the pastor should sit them down. I don't think we need to bring it to a vote, do you? If it's obvious somebody's lost and trying to join our church, I don't think I need to have a vote. Do I need to have a vote?" Just tell them, you know, keep seeking the Lord. Amen? Keep seeking the Lord. Keep coming. We'll keep praying for you. But you need to know for yourself. If somebody told you you were saved, if you at the end of a prayer were coerced or coached into saying, "Yes, I'm saved," that's not knowing it for yourself. That's mental manipulation. And I'm afraid too many people have gotten overly concerned about numbers. And they're doing that today. I don't want them to do that to you. You examine yourself. You test it. You prove it. You make sure that what's taking you to heaven is scriptural and of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, that repentance that you say you have is the kind of repentance that aligns up with Scripture, that the faith that you say you have in Jesus aligns up with Scripture. You make sure that you have what the Scriptures tell us a person must have in order to see and enter the kingdom of God. My time has gotten away from me quickly up here this morning. Prove yourself. Know it for yourself, your own self, how that Jesus is in you. That Jesus is in you. It won't all be about God until Jesus is in you. It'll still be about you. Oh, but when Jesus is in you. He said if Jesus is not in you, you could be a reprobate. Have a rejected profession. A rejected Christianity. A reprobate. You could have a reprobate Christianity. One that God will reject in the end. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. All right, I want to close. I had a lot more I wanted to say. I do want to read a couple of other passages in conjunction with that, just hurriedly. He says, examine yourself. In Colossians 3 and 11, it says the same thing, that it's all about Christ and it's all in Him. It's not in us. It's not in church. Church membership won't save you. Listen, you know, doing some kind of penance, you know, you can't cry your way into heaven. You cannot cry your way into favor with God. It's not about the tears. It's about Jesus. It's not, and listen, you may have a good pedigree. You may have, I guess pedigree is the wrong word, that's for dogs. But you may have good descendants. You may have good father, good mother. You may have religious parents. You may have godly parents. It's not about them, it's about Jesus. The Jews thought that they had special favor because they were Jews. Paul, Jesus would come along and the apostles would come along and say, that's not good enough. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a barbarian or a Roman citizen, whether you're a slave or you're rich, it's all about Jesus. It's all in Jesus Christ. If your salvation is not wholly and exclusively in Jesus, you are not saved. That's what he said in Colossians 3 and 11. I encourage you to read that. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 and 28. There are three alls in these passages. It's all about Jesus. Christ is in all of us. I'm glad I pastor a church where I believe Christ is in all of us. I've talked to pastors and they would tell me they didn't think Christ was in everybody at church that they pastored. Big problem, man. But I believe Christ is in all of us. That's a great advantage right there. Us that are saved, members of this church. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 28, he talks about us gathering around the throne of God. He talks about in this passage about us assembling in the presence of the Lord. Let me read a few of these passages here. In the end, the end's coming, amen? The ultimate goal, the end, verse 24, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he was talking about the resurrection. He said, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet, God being, God the Father. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. Why? Look at the last part of that verse 28. Why did Jesus come?
Why did he die? Why did he resurrect? Why did he ascend to glory? Why is he our mediator right now? Why is he coming back? I'll tell you why. That God might be all in all. God might be all in all. The ultimate purpose of God revealed. See, when we stand before the throne of God one day, collectively, in our glorified bodies, God is going to be in us. He's going to be our all in all. Everything will be in God. Our thoughts, our actions, everything that we say, everything that we do, God will be all in all. I don't have time to really dive into that. But all we'll ever comprehend at the youth retreat, We examine those angels going around the throne of God and flying with their... How many wings, kids? Six. Yeah. With twain, two of them, they covered what? Face. Twain, they covered the what? Twain, they flew. Saying, holy, holy, holy. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. I tell you, the glory of the Lord's here today. You can know and experience and get a glimpse of that glory in the face of Jesus Christ. I want us to have a song.